It is good to be back gathered together again this evening, and lest I forget at the end, I thank you again for the invitation to come down and the opportunity to be with you. And I do ask that you would pray tonight. I would again like for us to be able to worship. And that's beyond our capabilities without the Holy Spirit of God. And so it is our desire that we might be able to, through His Spirit and through His grace, to lift Him up and have Him lifted up in our presence here this evening, and that we might magnify Him having come together. I'd like to begin reading and read rather extensively tonight from Ezekiel chapter 1. Admitting to you before we begin to read that it's very strange language. Language way over my head in a lot of ways. But no doubt very glorious language, whether we can really understand it or not. Let us read Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. First verse says that Ezekiel was in a position allowed to see visions of God. I expect from that right there that it's going to turn into something mighty spectacular. Remind yourself that Ezekiel is allowed to see visions of God, and here are his words coming up. The word of the Lord, in the 5th day, verse 2, in the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him, and I looked. And behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud. You showed me the school today, and the place where the whirlwind had come through. And it was very frightening. So the personal accounts there. It was very frightening to be in the presence of that whirlwind that came through. A tornado. We're speaking of a tornado, I think, here. It came through there. A whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So not only do we have a tornado, we've got a tornado and a fire in the midst thereof coming in and out of that tornado. Ezekiel seeing this. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. We've got the tornado with the fire enfolding itself in the tornado, and we've got four creatures here being described, each having four faces and four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had four faces, had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upwards. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went, everyone straight forward. Whether the Spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. Now, everybody know what's happening here? You got a picture of this? Let's read on. And for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps, it went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. Whatever they were bright and they were fast. Living creatures. I don't know if it was like that or not. I'm trying to picture it. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of a barrel. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, we've got the tornado, and the fire enfolding, and the four creatures with their four faces and their four wings. And we've got the wheels, the four wheels, and now the wheels have rings. And I don't know exactly what Ezekiel was seeing, but it's something else, I'll tell you. It's sort of off the scale, isn't it? It's kind of way out there somewhere. And as for the rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Rings with eyes, wheels within wheels, tornadoes and enfolding fires. And I don't know what this is, but it's getting more awesome the further we go. Whatever it is, it's quite impressive, it would seem to me. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whither it was their spirit to go. And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures was as the color of a terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Every one had two, which covered up, which covered on this side, and every one had two, which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. We've got the tornado with the enfolding fire. We've got the four creatures with their four faces and their four wings. We've got the wheels within the wheels, four of them, and their rings, and the eyes and the rings. And then we've got the brightness of the firmament above and below. And then we've got a throne. And somebody looking like a man sitting on that throne. And he's glowing brightly. And round over him is a beautiful rainbow. And we come to the words, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. In the beginning it said, Ezekiel saw visions of God, and at the end of this chapter he said this. We've read you the chapter. It's beyond my imagination to know what Ezekiel saw that day. But the words in God's word tell me that he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And what did he do when he saw that? Did he say, wow, that was pretty cool. Show me again. Huh. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face. Sounds like a good place to be if you'd just seen something like that. And that something like that that he saw, whatever it was, he tried to put it in words. He did put it in words. And we have those words. But when I read those words of what he saw that day that he said was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, I struggle to see that. I can't put it all together. I can't exactly see everything that was happening there. But one thing I can see, just generally speaking, it was mighty off the scale awesome, wasn't it? It must have been to him too. For he said, when I saw it, I fell on my face. There's a few more times in God's word where we see a description of the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And I want you to know something we see common ground. When somebody saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, they fell out. They immediately hit the dust. They fell on their face. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let's look at another man that saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment, down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. This is John the Apostle. John the Apostle, he's exiled to the Isle of Patmos. There he is, and it's on the Lord's day, and he hears a voice behind him, and he turns to see where that voice is coming from, and who said that? And when he turns, he sees one like unto the Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His head and his hairs are as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. John looked into those eyes and they were as flaming fire. Hair white as snow. That's white. Eyes as flaming fire. His feet like burnished, like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, glowing, that red, amber, orange glow of molten metal, a brightness even about his feet, and his voice as the sound of many waters. A few years ago, my wife and I stood on the bank of the Niagara Falls, and as we stood there looking out there at that falls coming over, and I turned to her and I said, wow, that's pretty sharp. Yeah. You couldn't hardly hear each other over the noise of the waters. And here we've got the Son of Man talking to John, and his voice has the sound of many waters, glowing feet, white hair, eyes as flaming fire, voice as the sound of many waters, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. His countenance is his face, and his face was as bright as the sunshine. Ever tried to look up at the sunshine? You just can't do it. It won't work. Your eyes won't let you. The good Lord designs you where you can't look at the sunshine, and your eyes just squint up. But his face shining that bright, his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Ezekiel saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and he fell on his face. John saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and he fell on his face. On the road to Damascus, Saul of Tarsus saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, brighter than the noonday sun, he tells us. And where do we find him? It said he fell to the earth. Trembling and amazed. That's Thambos. He's unmovable. Where do we find him? He saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, and he fell to the earth. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 3, Abraham is 99 years old, and the Lord reappears unto him to confirm that covenant. And in verse 3 of chapter 17, the Lord has just appeared, promised the promise again. And where do we find Abraham? Check it out. He's hit the deck. He's on his face. Joshua, I think it's about chapter 5. They're about to fight that battle of Jericho. And it says the captain of the Lord's host appeared unto Joshua. And Joshua bowed to the captain of the Lord's host, it says there, and worshiped him. Now then, if that had been an angel, we know what happens when men try to worship angels, at least good angels, when men try to worship God's servant angels, in Revelation chapter maybe 19 and chapter 22, somewhere along in there, we find John so heated up in the moment of seeing glory, and he bows to angels, and twice he's corrected, "Don't worship me, worship God." Joshua fell at the feet of the captain of the Lord's host and worshiped him. And it was very appropriate, because that was Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's host, the King of heaven, the Son of God, that appeared to Joshua. And we find him falling on his face and worshiping. When you find in God's word the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, you find men falling down. God appeared at that burning bush to Moses. Take off your shoes from your feet. You're on holy ground. It says that Moses hid his face from that God. We find Job early in the book saying something like this: if I had my chance, I could talk to God and we could work this thing out. Now that's Jeff's version, but that's pretty much what he had on his mind early on. Not early on, middle ways. But then toward the end of that book, he gets his chance. God shows up and said, "Where were you? Where were you? Where were you?" Dozens and dozens of questions God asked Job. "You want my job? You think you can handle it better than I'm handling things? Where were you when I created? Where were you when I feed the animals? Where are you when I do all these things that I do? Where are you, Job?" Job said, after dozens and dozens of questions that he could not answer, as he began to see the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, he said, "Once have I spoken, but I don't believe I'm going to do that anymore." And it said he covered his mouth with his hand. The appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord, what does it do? Well, it puts you on the deck, and it makes you want to hide, and it makes you cover your mouth, and sometimes it makes you say, "Woe is me, for I am undone." Isaiah said that in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he saw those seraphims worshiping God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And he said, "Woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people made about out of the same stuff, and I've got no business here. This is bigger than me." The appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. God came to Moses and said, "You put up bounds around this mountain. You put a fence up out there so the people won't come." You know what the people said when they saw that mountain trembling? When they saw the lightnings and the thunderings? They said, "Moses, you go." And God said about that statement, "They have spoken well." They saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord on Sinai. And they said, "Moses, you go. We're not in the mood to go up there anymore. You don't have to put a fence up. We'll gladly hide from that God." The appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, we find through that chapter, and we won't read that chapter, but Habakkuk sees something somewhat similar, it seems to me, what Ezekiel saw. Something he tried to put in words, something he did put in words, but I try to understand it and I struggle with it. But as he continues with that description in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16, "When I heard, my belly trembled." Now you think about that a minute. Anybody here ever been scared? Something happened to you and made you scared, frightened? What happens when you get frightened? Well, I've had my hands shake often. Sometimes when you step in the pulpit, your hands are shaking. And sometimes when you step in the pulpit where you're not used to being, your knees are shaking. But I don't reckon, best I can recollect, I've ever seen anything that made my belly start shaking. Not trying to be so funny, but that man was shaking all over. If his belly was trembling, what had he seen? We could read it for you. But he saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And I want to show you something else right here in what he saw. Verse 4, as it begins to explain there what Habakkuk was allowed to see, it said that what he was allowed to see was the hiding of his power. He saw the hiding of God's power, and it was enough to make him start shaking so much that his belly was trembling. Did God show him everything? No. It's all he could do to handle what he got to see. Nobody's ever seen everything. When God relates to man, the best he can do is just show us a little bit. Moses said, "Lord, if you'll just let me see you, that'll be good enough. It'll suffice if you'll just let me see you." And what did God tell Moses? No man can look upon me and live. But he went on to say, I'll just show you a little bit, so to speak. He said, what I'll do, there's a rock beside me, and there's a cleft in that rock, and I'll put you in the cleft of that rock, and then I'll put my hand over you in the cleft of that rock, and then I'll come by, and then I'll let you see my hinder parts. And that's about all you could stand, Moses. And even to see that, he was put in the cleft of the rock with the protecting hand of God over that cleft even. My friends, I believe that rock is Jesus Christ. And I believe that cleft is the side that was riven and the blood that came out. From that point, with the hand of God covering you, you might someday get to see him just a little bit. But I don't think we'll ever see all of him. I really don't. That's speculation. I don't know the answer to that for sure. But what I do know, I believe from God's word, is that no man can see all of him now and live. And Habakkuk saw the hiding of his power and his belly trembled. We've read to you about Ezekiel and that glorious vision that I can't really see too plainly. And we've read to you about John in the book of Revelation and that glorious vision that I can't see exactly what he saw there. Habakkuk saw him marvelously. Moses saw him. Isaiah saw him. Abraham saw him. Joshua saw him. Saul of Tarsus saw him. They fell on their face. Job covered his mouth. Moses hid his face. John fell on his face as a dead man. Habakkuk's belly trembled. There's one more time that this world saw the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us. His birth announcement, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I believe that that's the most glorious appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord in all of history. God Almighty, Creator of all, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who spoke, and it was done. The one who said, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things not yet done. Saying, I have purposed it, I will bring it to pass. I have spoken it, I will also do it. That God had purposed to make an appearance, a real appearance, as a babe in a manger. That blows my mind. That's glorious. And the wise men, Matthew 2 and 11, came and fell before him and worshiped. A babe in a manger, they worshiped. How strange is that? New baby. What do you do? What do you say? How do you act? Is he a good baby? Isn't he sweet? Oh, he's a little cutie. None of that. They fell at that babe and worshiped him. He would grow up and do many marvelous things, things we talked about this morning and untold other things. And then would come a momentous day. Where he in control, no man would take his life from him. He had the power to lay it down. And he had the power to raise it up again. And men came with an idea that they would take his life from him. And he said to them, "Whom seek ye?" And they said to him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said to them, "I am he." And they didn't fall on their face. They fell backwards. A little difference there, but they still end up in the same spot. They're on the deck. He said, "I am he." And then he said, "I'm the one you're looking for. Let these go." And then he let them get up. And no man took his life from him. He laid it down. According to his own will, according to his own pleasure, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the wonder and astonishment of his followers even. Even his followers today wonder and are astonished that he would lay down his life. The appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. I have trouble seeing what Ezekiel saw. Maybe I haven't yet been given to see him in that way. Maybe one day when he appears in those clouds, maybe that's the way he'll appear then. I kind of got a feeling it'll be something about like that anyway. I think it's going to be glorious. I think it's going to be recognizable. I think it's going to be something off the scale. And I think maybe someday I'll get to see him like Ezekiel got to see him a little ahead of time. I think we see what we've been given to see. I think that's part of amazing grace. Is that God reveals himself a little bit in the Old Testament, a little more in this age. They saw things through shadows and dimly and prophetically in the Old Testament. We see things brightly and beautifully. And gloriously and historically. We've got the whole story now. We look back and see that cross that they looked ahead and might have wondered about when they read Isaiah 53. Is the prophet speaking of himself or another? How can I know except some man guide me? We've got insight that they didn't have. We can see more plainly what they couldn't see. Yet we still see through a glass darkly. So we don't have it all yet, and we haven't seen everything. But I think you've been able to see through the eye of faith. The most glorious appearing of the likeness of the glory of the Lord yet. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Ah. Sometimes, that causes me to tremble. Maybe not like it ought to. I don't remember ever trembling so much my belly was trembling. But sometimes I see that. And when I see that, it's glorious. I see the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord on a cross for me. And sometimes I fall on my face when I see that. And sometimes I get a little shaky. Sometimes I worship like Joshua did. If I'm able to do any of those things, that's not me. That's grace in me. If I'm able to see Him, that's the eye of faith that God has put in me that lets me see Him. If I can sense myself there, that's something the world can't really do, my friends. You tell this story to the world and they'll say it's foolishness. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they're foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them. Herod wanted to see him just because it was kind of intriguing. As if he's a magic man or something. Show me a trick, magic man. You know, at this point, that's about where I am in Ezekiel chapter 1. It's kind of intriguing. But I really hadn't seen that one yet. But maybe it's not my turn. But what I have seen so far, by the grace of God and by the eye of faith, is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord on a cross for me. And one day, again by the grace of God, and to my astonishment and great amazement, I expect to see him in the clouds. I expect to hear a shout. There's going to be trumpets blasting. I know that much. I don't know much else. That's all I've been told so far. But I'm looking forward to it. When I see him face to face, or maybe when I see him face to feet, wouldst thou raise me to thy feet, that in such hallowed posture thy dear name I might repeat, Jesus, Jesus, lovely Jesus. If you've seen through the eye of faith the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord hanging on a cross for you, I think we've seen a pattern. For folks that's seen that, the proper response is to fall on your face. Fall on your face before him. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, that song ends, that I owe him my soul, my life, my all. If you've seen him, then fall before him and give him your everything.